Hello, everybody, and welcome to our Nutritional Endocrinology Practitioner Accelerator Training or Practice Accelerator Training. This is the third training of our for the year, and this one's on getting noticed. And the reason that I chose this particular one, this particular topic, is that I keep hearing from folks, you know, I'm working on my lead magnet, I'm working on, you know, some things to get people, to give people, to get them on my list. But then like, okay, so now I've got it, and how do I get people to know I have it? And how do I get people flocking to it to know that this is an amazing free gift that I want them to have? Well, that's why I created this presentation today. This presentation will be a combination of presentation and some workshopping so that we make sure that everybody's really clear on what the steps are and which of these steps resonate the most with you. Because there's a lot of ways to get traffic, but not all of them are right for everybody, right? So you may not feel comfortable with Facebook Lives. Okay, what else could you do? So we'll talk about that. And when you walk away from this call today, I want you to have 1 to 3 strategies that you're going to be working on over the next few months to get traffic to your gift. So we've been working off this model of how you build your business, you know, with identifying your ideal client. And we did that in our first training call, and we've done that in some of our mastermind calls. And then packaging your genius. And some of you have ideas on how you're going to do that. We'll go more into depth on that once we get through this whole phase of attracting people to your lead magnet. And then mastering strategy sessions for people who do one-on-ones. And creating a signature talk and getting known and getting booked are out there. But parts of the getting known and to get booked are things I'm going to be talking about today, because you've got to drive traffic to that lead magnet. So, who's clear on what they do and how they do it for? Like, instead of saying, I am a naturopathic pharmacist, which actually is very descriptive in and of itself, I help premenopausal women who are struggling with debilitating periods to be comfortable and happy through their periods so they can live their life filled with joy and ecstasy. I just made that up, right? So different things. So who has one that they want to share? We don't have to have everybody share, but who has one that they want to share? And have you worked on this? Because it's being clear on this piece is what helps you to define your audience, right? Where they live, where they hang out, so that you can put your free gift in front of them. People think it's not hard to sell a free gift, but in reality, it is a little bit. There's some work to sell the free gift because people have to exchange their email address. And in this day and age of overwhelm and email, exchanging your email address for something has to be juicy and good. So it has to sound good. And we've been working on the copy for that, and we've been working on opt-in pages, and I think everybody's getting really close with that. But knowing who you are. So if you don't already have a good statement for this, I'd suggest that between now and our next call that you work on this. Okay?
I work with people. I didn't want to say women, but I work with people who want to regain their zest for life and feel amazing every day. I mean, just simple.
It's beautiful. It's beautiful. So you've chosen not to do the struggling piece.
Well, I left that bit out. It was getting a bit long for me to remember all that when I spoke to somebody, mm-hmm. you know. I could use that format.
Just because it helped when people hear you say their problem, if you're not mentioning the problem and you're just mentioning joy and gusto, which is what they want, and you can say that, they're going to go, oh, I'm so far from joy and gusto. Okay. Right. People were struggling with debilitating fatigue or fatigue or, you know, fatigue and confusion or something along the lines of what that is to blah, blah, blah. So that's the way I would improve that. But it's great. The wording is great. Okay. But people will relate better if you name their problem, because oh, she helps people like me, right? Yeah. There is hope for me.
So I help people who are struggling with fatigue regain their zest for life and feel amazing every day.
Beautiful. Yeah. Yeah, that works. Does that work for everybody else? Yeah. Okay. So here's what I want to do on our next call. I want everybody to do a round and share their statement. And the statement changes, it updates, you shift it, and you have to be willing to shift it based on who you're talking to, right? If you're talking to a group of premenopausal women, and you're not going to talk about menopause symptoms that they have, you're going to talk about how you're going to help them not go that route, right? How you're going to help them to improve their hormonal balance now so that menopause is smooth sailing, unlike what it is for most people. So you're going to adapt it, and then you can do that on the fly based on who you're talking to. Awesome. All right. And this is the stuff too. So when you're doing that, it's just what are their most burning problems. And the reason I bring this up on the getting noticed piece is because this is going to help you identify where these people live, right? If they're suffering from fibromyalgia, they may be on a fibromyalgia Facebook group, or an Instagram Facebook group, or a forum somewhere. I think forums have gone the way of the dust since Facebook came around. But you find them there, or a local group, right? There's local celiac chapters. There's local fibromyalgia chapters where these people meet. So if you're real clear on what keeps them up at night, what's getting in the way of what they want most, and how you can help, you'll identify where you can find them. And that's one of our strategies for getting known and getting noticed, is to join those groups and just start conversations, not promotional conversations. And depending on the rules of the group, you may say, as somebody says, oh my God, I'm just doubling over with pain every month and I can't stand it. And I know that this aspirin or whatever they're taking is burning a hole in my gut and I don't know what else to do. You can just write, hey, there's a bunch of herbs that you can do, and I just outlined them, all of them, and gave you descriptions in my new, my free little book. And here's a link if you want it, right? So you're having conversations, you're building rapport, you're giving good information, but you don't always want to be giving a link. You know, you might want to be saying something like, yeah, well, you know, magnesium, it could be a magnesium deficiency. You can try magnesium. And if magnesium isn't it, then I outline a whole bunch of them here. And in my practice, when people say, you know, they're hot, debilitating hot flashes, you can be saying, you know, something like, there's a lot that goes on and there's a lot of imbalances that can lead to hot flashes. And you give them a few tips, and then you say, hey, you know, you can check out my little freebie. There's a lot more I can say. I don't want to spend the time here recopying it. It's in this little free book I put together. And that's it. But if you know their problems, you know where to find them. And if you know what they want to experience, then you can talk to them in that language, right? But I found that if you just talk to them in that language, they think they're so far from it. You haven't established the gap like we do in an aroma conversation, where we get them to where they want to be, but then we show them where they are and there's a big gap. But if you just show them nirvana and they can't get out of bed every day, they're like, well, she can help other people who are closer to nirvana, but she can't help me. So really understanding what they want is important, as well as what they're suffering from. So in creating your dream practice, what we're going to be talking about today is not so much client-attracted methods, but attracting an ideal audience. Because here's the deal. A lot of those folks are never going to become clients, right? I have 125,000 names on my email list, not 125,000 clients. I wish 125,000 clients. But the thought is, I've helped every single one of them who's consumed my stuff. So we're making a difference in the world. So you want to build that following, because the larger the following, if you say 10% of those or 5% of those are going to become clients, then the larger the following, the more likely you're going to get a larger number of people to actually start to engage your services. Does that make sense? So that's where we are in this building your dream business. So we've all been talking about and building. I just spent some time with Annette working on hers, the lead magnets and the funnels, right? But how do you get them? Once you've got this amazing, juicy, hot lead magnet, it's sitting on your site. Who sees it? right? How do we get people to actually see it and want it and crave it? There's a lot of different ways to do that. So this is some of the stuff that I put together for attracting clients. You can use some of these also for getting people to see your lead magnet. I mean, at the grocery store. So what I would do is once you have your lead magnet done, you have a business card that has on the back of it the link to your lead magnet and says, get my 7 juicy tips for sailing through menopause with ease or sexy menopause or whatever on the back of the card. Simple card. And when you meet somebody in the store, if you can't get their contact information, first of all, that's the best thing to do. You can say, hey, I can send you my 7 juicy tips for sailing through menopause. I see that you're struggling with it. You look like you're sweating right now. You can get their name and you can put them in. Is it okay if I send you that by email? It's a free gift. It's my free gift to you. You can do that, or you can have your card, and it could be a business card, it could be a little postcard. Vistaprint is really cheap for printing those. And if you do go online, there's other companies that are even better than Vistaprint. You can get like Mongo. I think I spent, the first time I did these cards, I got way too many. There was 1,000 cards for like $75. I mean, 1,000 cards was a lot, or 5,000, I think it was. But you can get them, and they're pretty and they're colorful and they have two sides, and you can talk about your gift. You can use a few of the words from your gift and just get them to sign up with that. Like, your card is not to let them know your name and email address. It's to get them to follow up with you. And if you have something really pretty and juicy, that works. All right. At social events, same thing, like the grocery store. If you have a card to give them and you, or you can get their name. You can just have them do, you can take a, say, okay, I want to remember you, and take a picture of them and put them in your contacts and say, give me your contact information. I'm going to go ahead and send you this great recipe guide or this great tips for, you know, you sound like you're really stressed out with your diabetic child. I'm going to send you my caregiver for diabetes, diabetic parents, whatever. Does that make sense? Simple things.
Yeah. Dr. Rita Marie.
Yeah.
We're all still on the title slide. It sounded like you were advancing the slide.
Good. You'll see it on the replay. So there's the first one. There's the what do you do? Sorry, I have to remember that. I have to. This is the problem with Zoom with this. I have to click both ways. Okay. So solving the most burning problem, the solution, creating your dream practice. We said we were working here on the client attraction methods. Your lead magnet, right? You're going to... You got this great lead magnet and it's set up to attract all these millions of people, but how do you get those millions of people to know you have it? And then we're here. So we talked about grocery store. We talked about social events, clubs and meetups, very similar. But here's the thing. You can set up a meetup group in your own town for people in that niche, right? And you can rent a room or have it at your home or have it at your office or something where you get people together every month and you give them a presentation on a topic related to that niche. Now, here's the beauty of setting up a meetup group. It costs about $45 a year or something. It's very inexpensive and you basically get free advertising. We get people, I get people at my monthly potlucks. I've never met these people before, but each month at least 5 new people come, maybe 10 sometimes come, right? And if it's a fit, they'll keep coming. So meetups doing the advertising for you. And then when you get the meetup and you have this group going on, that gives you an audience to create a presentation every month, a short little 10, 20 minute presentation with a Q&A. And then you get to network with these folks, right? That are in your prime audience because you're going to call it something that attracts them in to your, to that niche that you've selected. Does that make sense? So it's a great investment. And then you can take the meetup link and every month you can post it on Facebook. And you can even do a Facebook Live that says, hey, I have this new meetup group if you live in this particular town or nearby. And yeah, it's just local traffic, but the local traffic is great for those people that you would see in person. And it's something, right? You can also do a virtual meetup group. That's another option. Or it could be part virtual, part in person. So if you have a virtual meetup group, instead of meeting in person, and maybe you meet quarterly in person for the locals, but instead of meeting in person, you meet on a Zoom chat. and you have a meeting and you do a presentation. But here's the thing, that meetup is sending the people to you. And then you have to formulate your presentation to them such that if you have those cards, you give them out. Otherwise, you just have a sign-up sheet that says, here, I have this amazing book. You can print out your freebie so they can see it. And hey, you want a copy of this? Here, just put your name here and I'll give it to you. Or just pull out your cell phone right now and go to this link. Or if you get sophisticated and you use lead pages or something like that, you can give them a phone number they can text to get your freebie. That might be the best thing, because even in the supermarket, okay, take out your cell phone right now. I'm going to show you how you can get this free book and it'll be delivered to you within minutes. Then there's no delay and no, they forget about it. You know, Lead Pages does it, but if you look online, there's others. Fix My Funnel does it. I have Lead Pages and it's just included. ClickFunnels does it, and there's others that do it. They're not free. There's usually a charge for each person because there's a cell phone charge, but it's nominal. It's really nominal. Make sense? So I think that would be a really good way, but investigate it. And if it's in your budget, go ahead and do it, because then people do it right there and people need direction. Oh, you have a cell phone? Take out your cell phone. I can give you a copy of this book right away. And you go, okay, go here and type this and you can watch them do it. And you can do that at social events and at club meetups. If you go to meetups, and you can give it to them right away, and you could post it on your meetup group. You could say, oh, at the meetup, at the group today, I'm going to talk about some of the content in my free book, blah, blah, blah. Go ahead and download it here and you can give them the link to get to it. Is this making sense? Yeah, they're not hard ways to do it. And the other thing is to go to meetup.com and look for groups that seem like they're in your area, right? It may just be a holistic health group. It may be a plant-based eating group. It may be a whatever, different kinds of groups that you know are going to have health-minded people there. And you can attend those. And you can contact the organizer to see if you can do a presentation for them. Like what meetup group, if you have a meetup in London, Allison, and they are a group that's meeting, like it's a menopause group, right? And you, as a physician, with all your experience, contacts the organizer and says, hey, I see you have a meetup. Do you ever do guest speakers? I'd love to be a guest speaker for you. I specialize in, you know, bioidentical hormones, holistic methods, blah, blah, blah. Who wouldn't say yes to that? I mean, they'd be crazy to say no. Do you know what I mean? And the same thing, Mihaela, you're a holistic pharmacist, right? So you find groups that might be aligned with that. You're moving your people from the menopause symptoms into liver detox, right? So look for groups that might be aligned with that. And then you do a presentation, and at the presentation, you offer them your free gift. Now, a lot of those presentations, they don't want you to offer something for sale, right? It's just not the way those are set up. That's okay. You just offer them your free gift. You can also offer them a free consultation, right? Especially if they're locals. And you may want to work with them one-on-one. You say, hey, I've set aside for this group only. I've set aside like 5 strategy sessions or 10 strategy sessions, depending on number of people in the room, right? You always want to make it less than the number of people in the room. So if there's 10 people in the room, you say, I've set aside like 3 or 4 or 5 strategy sessions over the course of the next month. If you want to get in and talk and see, you know, how I can help you with this, go ahead and sign up. Make sense? Right? So there's all these opportunities in our day-to-day life for getting in front of people and getting our gifts and our lead magnets in front of people. There's networking groups, right? I know, Allie, you go to some networking groups. I've never gone to a networking group, I will say, but a lot of people do really well with it. Maria Horseman goes to a lot of networking groups and she gets clients that way. Right? So at networking groups, when they say, you know, sometimes you get like your 30-second or 1 minute or whatever, you can stand up and tell who you are and what you do. And you say, I'm so excited. I just got my new, sexy menopause ebook done and I'd love to give you a free copy. Text XYZ on your phone right now and we'll give you a copy. And if you don't have a smartphone, just see me at the end and catch me and I'll give you a link to the free copy. Right? So use those opportunities. Of course, they're speaking. And we just talked about speaking within the clubs or meetups. but speaking in general, you know, getting your own speaking gigs, like doing your own, takes a little coordination. I used to do them at a local place called Casa de Luz, which is a macrobiotic community and restaurant. And they have a big meeting room, and I've done those. And we've gotten, you know, about 30, 35 people to show up for those. I usually do those for free and then make an offer. When they're yours, you can make a paid offer. So whenever I've done them, I've made paid offers. Made a paid offer at one. I had actually one I did in my living room. I made a paid offer for $1,200. I didn't know any better. It was a high price, but I got three people to sign up for it. And then my mentors at the time said, you know, you could better be to offer a $300 program. It's more, you know, going to get more people. But here's the deal. I did another one of those and I got 10 people to sign up for my $300 offer. Guess which one I made more money at and had less work to do at. So it was, you know, you have to play it out, right? You may get less people at a higher price, but, you know, and you can always have a downsell for the people, like after you follow up with the people who didn't do the $1,200 one at the event and offer them the $300 one, right? So, cause they probably got excited about the $1,200 one, but felt it wasn't in their budget at the point. That point, and they didn't know you well enough, right? So then you get them into a nurture sequence and you keep sending them juicy information. They get to know you. I've been thrilled with the kinds of responses just to our job application process that we're doing. People say, oh, I've been on your list. I love what you do. I mean, I don't know them, but they love it because I'm connecting with them, right? I'm being real with them. JV Partners, we'll go into a little bit more detail on that. I have a couple of slides on that. And then certainly the online stuff. So we're going to go into more of each of these things, those things in a bit. All right. So online networking, right? There's a lot of ways to do it. Who has a blog? Yeah. How often do you write on your blog? Allie does too. She writes on it a lot. No, but you post, you repost, or you send people from Facebook to existing posts. Is that right? Okay. Yeah. So how often do you think you should post to a blog to get good Google SEO? How often?
I was thinking to do once every 2 weeks in the beginning.
See if you could do one. Start it with once every 2 weeks and see if you can work it up to once a week. Mm-hmm. I will say I've been negligent. My poor blog has gotten neglected as I went through launches and all kinds of stuff. But when I was posting a lot, I was posting at 1.3 times a week. And a post doesn't have to be huge, right? An informational post should be at least 500 words. They're saying now 1,500 is better. But you can post a recipe. You can post a video, right? You can do simple things. And one of the things we were going to do is get back to the 3 times a week. I'm going to do a Facebook Live once a week, and I'll post that to the blog, and then a recipe once a week, and then an article, and then maybe an herb of the week or something like that. Lynn?
One of my more recent blogs I did, and it wasn't very long, and it took me maybe 10 minutes to do it all. I had a dream. And I got a lot of, I learned a lot about it, that dream. And so that's what my blog post was, because it was too long for a Facebook post. And I got the most amazing remarks and conversations and interactions from people about that. Yeah. So, you know, it doesn't have to be this thing where you sit, you research, and you think it's, sometimes that's what people want. Because we want that interaction. Yeah.
They want in connection. They want to know you. They want to learn from it. But sometimes we get in our heads, especially those of so much training and all, we get in our heads and we want to give them this and that. And yeah, there is a place for referenced research to get out there because Google SEO gives it higher rankings and all that. But you don't have to do that all that often. But if you have, you just want to keep it busy. You just want to keep it busy, keep it busy. So a little thing on one of my most opened blog posts was when my son came home from school and I found out, or I got a call from school and found out he was eating his friend's pizza at school. And we were wondering why he had suddenly become so hyperactive and nobody could deal with him and all that. And, we found out that. So the headline was something like, It was a dramatic headline, and I can't remember what it was now. I got more responses from that post. And the other one I did was on, I'd gone to Whole Foods and it was Halloween. It was the day before Halloween. And there's
a lady sitting there.
You remember that one? With these cupcakes, right? These little cupcakes. And I went up and went, wow, healthy cupcakes. And they were orange. And I wonder what the ingredients are. It's nice that there's an alternative for these folks. And I picked it up and I read it and I was outraged. Flour, sugar, salt, butter. Tons of sugar and then whatever coloring. I think they used carrot juice for coloring. I don't remember, but I read it and I'm like, I just looked at the woman. I said, this isn't healthy. And she says, well, what do you mean? I said, it's loaded with sugar. And she was really obnoxious about it. Like she didn't want to take my advice. So I went to the manager and I explained to him, sugar causes cancer. You're feeding these kids cancer. The worst part about it is you're making these parents believe that this is healthy for their kids and selling it at an exorbitant price when they can go down the street to HEB and buy some other crap for a fraction of the price and they don't believe it's healthy and yours isn't any healthier than theirs. Well, ours is organic. I said, yeah, whoop-dee-doo. Whoop-dee-doo, yours is organic. And so I wrote this big blog post. I was outraged. And I got so many comments and so many responses. So think about things that are...
And then you wrote a second one after that.
I followed up with it when I gave the email address of the woman that you can write to. And I told everybody to write to her because she was supposedly in charge of the quality there. But yeah, think about some of those things, right? Just like think about your daily life. And you always want to include a link to your freebie in your blog, and you always want to have on the sidebar of your blog so they can see it, a link to your freebie. Always. Okay. So make sure every article somehow leads them around to that. If you can, but you can actually have it at the bottom of your blog so that people see it. You can have it on the side. You can have it as a pop-up if you, don't mind pop-ups. I know there's some nice pop-ups. There's one called Pop-Up Ally that we use. And it's a one-time cost of like $75, but it lets you make really pretty and non-obnoxious pop-ups and it won't show it to them every time and it doesn't show, you can control when it shows it to them so they can be reading. Worst thing is when you start to read an article and suddenly this ugly pop-up comes in, right? I hate that. I want to read the article. So you give them some time to read it a little bit and then you say, hey, would you like? So they've gotten far enough into the article to know that, oh my God, there's ways to deal with menstrual cramps other than Midol. Holy cow. And then it pops up and says, oh my gosh, here it is. Or there's this thing called lead links that Lead Pages has. And you can just set it up as the link. And instead of the link taking them off the article to another page, it actually just is a pop-up basically. And it lets them give their name and email address. So there's a lot of ways to do that through your blog.
Was the pop-up, the non-intrusive one, something Ally?
Yeah, Pop-Up Ally is from Ambition Ally. It's the one that we use. It's from the same people that do our membership site.
Yep.
Yeah. And other people's blogs. Please write an article. I will post it. Put it out on the NEPT again. Somebody write me an article. Give me an article. It'll have your name and your email address and it'll go out to my people. And then we'll send a Facebook post that says, hey, this week's guest article is from Dr. Ally. Dr. Ally, blah, blah, blah. You go to the blog and read it. This one's from Mahela, the naturopathic pharmacist. And you just write this article.
We've had students write other articles. So I used to reach out to people and it was like pulling teeth. So I stopped.
This is your way to get known in front of a lot of people. We're going to start doing our newsletter again each week. And it's just going to be very simple because fancy newsletters don't get the traction that they used to. Just like, hey, and this week's blog post is about blah, blah, blah. Oh, and it's with guest Dr. Ally Grimston. And she, is awesome and go read her article. But the point is that will go out to my whole email list, right? So that's putting you in front of it. And if your article has the call to action at the end of your article, to get more, to get my sexy tips for menopause, here's the way to go. So other people's blogs, do it for me first. Get comfortable with the process. I'll give you feedback on, you know, how to do your bio, because I'm going to change it if it's too long and windy. And then you can use that same one for anybody else you do. And then you can reach out, look for people in your niche. Let me tell you, all my colleagues are looking for guest bloggers because it's a lot of work to keep writing. And if you write well and you give a good article, you can get it out on people's sites. I mean, then there's also Green Med and Mind Body Green and all those places. And I haven't pursued it because I haven't written anything new recently, but I've got like 1,000 blog posts on my blog right now. And I'm looking to just repurpose some of it because a lot of them were written a long time ago. And all I have to do is retweak them a little bit or get a writer to retweak them a little bit and republish them and make them better and more SEO friendly, you know, with my links to my freebies and whatnot. So it's a great way that they'll have your link. Then you'll start to get traffic. That's how I started to get traffic was, well, it was actually on other people's radio shows or podcasts, right? I remember getting 1,000 opt-ins from Kevin Gianni because he interviewed me on his radio show. 1,000 opt-ins from one radio show. Can you believe it?
And that's how I met you.
Summits. I got onto Sean Croxton's thyroid summit or whatever. And I was like, 2,000, 1,500 or 2,000 opt-ins from that one place. Right?
And I met you through Tira Warner.
And you met me through Tira Warner. I did stuff with her. I got tons of opt-ins through her. So I just reached out. Not that I don't like the affiliate stuff in the traditional sense of it, like sending out a gazillion emails about people. I like having them on my shows and me on theirs because then I'm giving value to my community. They're giving value to their community. And the ones that resonate with me are going to follow up with me. Make sense?
And I was going to say, if anybody is not sure, you know, just write something and I'll be happy to go over it. And then Dr. Rita Marie will be happy to go over it as well. So. Mm-hmm.
And Lynn will go over it from a standpoint of understandability and flow and grammar and all that. But I'm going to go through it from a standpoint of marketing. Is this an article that is creating buzz and excitement about you? Right? In addition to providing amazing content, or not so much amazing buzz and excitement about you, but buzz and excitement about your topic, that they're going to leave that article going, I need to do something about this. If it's your audience, right? I need to do something about this. And oh, by the way, at the bottom, there's this free link to, you know, the 7 nutrients and herbs that keep me from having bad menstrual cramps. Oh, I think I'll go get that. I have opted in for so many things from reading blog posts. Who hasn't? Who has everybody done that? You go to you find a blog link on Facebook, you go there, and the next thing you know, you're on this person's email list because they had this irresistible pop-up or whatever that came up and said, hey, or it was on the side. A lot of times they're either on the side or right at the bottom of the article. So I finish the article, or while I'm reading, I'm seeing this thing that's attracting me off to the side, and I go, I gotta get that. I gotta see what they're doing. So that's the way to do it. And that's not a hard way to do it. That's not a hard thing to do. If you're already blogging, you set up your blog, you have your web person set up your blog so that the links are there in a very noticeable place. Make sense? Mm-hmm. Forums, you know, I don't know that there's that many forums around anymore because Facebook groups, I think, have really knocked them out. There used to be a lot of places you can go. And if you just type forums, like menopause forums or dysmenorrhea forums or menstrual cramp forums or detox forums and just see, I don't know that there's that many that still exist independently. I know there's some that are anti-Facebook and keep it going, but I think for the most part, it's Facebook groups. There's thousands of Facebook groups. Just do a search. Do a search and join everyone that's related to your niche. Okay? And then you don't want to be advertising. You're not going to be putting links to your sales page. But if you happen to be doing a webinar on a topic somebody's like in pain about, you can say, hey, I have this webinar. If you want, I'll send you the link. You can even, if the rules of the group are you're not allowed to post links, you just say, oh, PM me and I'll send you a link to my book. Okay. Another thing on Facebook is ManyChat. Nellie and I were talking about that a bit. I started to research it. We started to do it. Team member that was supposed to be doing it is no longer with us. So I got to go back and follow up with it. But it's a way that if you're on a Facebook Live or you write a post and then you have it in there, you can say in your post, just type the word XYZ in the chat and I'll send you a message with a link to my book.
Oh.
It's really cool. They have a free version and then they have a paid version. And that's really cool because then they're in private messaging with you. And then you can set up a series of private messages. It's a nurture sequence, but in these little short messages, and they think that you're talking to them. And then they may ask a question that you're not going to answer or don't answer within your sequence. And you can actually step in if you think this is a hot person. And especially when you're small, you don't have a huge number, you can do it. There's no way I could step in and do private messages with a lot of them. Lynn private messages.
I was answering most of them.
But I'm going to be really doing more with that. But process. That's a great way. You get them into your thing. You know, type this here. And then you can get them onto your list from there, right? You have to be careful, you know, about getting them onto your list. You can't just put them on your list. ManyChat does have a facility where you can, but you have to say, hey, would you like to, you know, get more correspondence from me? I send out a weekly tips newsletter. If you'd like to do that, they click yes, then you can put them into your list. Or you just give them an opt-in, right? From there, once they're in and you're schmoozing them a little bit, you say, I have this other smoothie book that is really great. It's a set of smoothies. Would you like it? Click here and get it. And then you go send them to an opt-in, right? So everything with bringing people in is about building relationships, right? All the stuff we talked about, you're at a networking event, you're at the supermarket, but don't just network. Always have a call to action. Right? Don't leave that person in the produce aisle staring at the kale, still not knowing what to do. Give them a call to action. Take their name and email address is the best and then follow up. Or the best would be to have that little phone number thing and watch them as they do it. And then go, oh, go click to your email. You're going to see it in there. And they do. And they go, oh, wow, thank you so much, Dr. Ali. I'm so appreciative.
So I have an example of that.
Say it again.
I have an example of that.
Okay, give it.
I was at the grocery store the other day and in the produce aisle, and this man was asking this kid who was stacking produce. He goes, I'm looking for this type of tomato. It's like old tomatoes. I can't remember. And the kid's going, I have no idea what you're talking about. I said, are you talking about heirloom tomatoes? He goes, yes, that's it. Where are they? I said, they're not here.
We live in Iowa, guys. They don't have heirloom tomatoes here.
Right. And he was visiting from California. So, yeah. But so he started asking questions and I was able to answer them. And he's like, who are you? And so I did just like you said. I said, pull out your phone. Here's my website. Mm-hmm. You know,
now the next step. So just send them to your website. You did a great job there, but I want you to take it a step further. I don't want you to send them to your website. I want to send them to an opt-in for something that you have to get them on your
list. Well, that's where my opt-in is.
Right. But specifically, instead of saying, here's my website. Oh, here's where you can get some free videos, right? In your words, because they may gloss over it, right?
Well, that's what I told him that, as well as there were, you know, my blog has recipes and
great, but watch, here's the thing. I'm going to take it a step further, right?
Okay.
Because trusting that they're going to do anything is not right. So you go here.
No, he took his phone out. Right,
put
there.
Your name there. Now put your email there. Now click submit. And within seconds, you're going to get a copy of my top 5 recipes for whatever, or my 3 videos for whatever. You see what I'm saying? Don't assume. It's like what I said to Annette in her book, her free book. Don't give them the specific call to action. Click on the link below to get started right away or to get this result. See what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Always give them a call to action or take their name and email address. Or if you have the lead, ClickFunnels has it. So have your web person, your VA look at and say you want to set up that. I don't remember what they call it. Digits. It might be click digits or something like that. But to set that up, there's no additional charge as far as I know. And you can set that up and you'll give them a phone number. The reason I use Lead Pages is Lead Pages gives me a 5-digit number, except if I'm out of the country, and ClickFunnels gives you a full phone number. It's a small, minor detail. But you say, here, just type this number in, and then type the word transform. I don't know, whatever word you want it to be. And then hit, okay, now hit that. Now you're going to get a thing. See where it says, enter your email address. Great. Put your email address there and you'll check your inbox within a few minutes and you're going to have access to this thing. Right. Lead them through it.
Right.
Right. Lead them through it. Don't leave it to chance. Make sense? But that's an excellent example. And you did a great job having him do that. And hopefully he followed up. Did you check to see if he followed up?
I didn't.
Right. Yeah. That's the biggest thing with networking is people meet all these people and you get all these cards and you go home and you go, who was this person? Right. Yeah. Whereas if you stand out with this big card and it's pretty and it says what you do specifically, because you can't say much on a silly business card, right? And it says, here's how you get the sexy tips for XYZ. Right? Cool. Right. Instagram, I've been hearing for different age groups, tends to be really good. A lot of my colleagues are doing live things on Instagram and getting really good results and creating stories on Instagram. I haven't been on it. I don't know much about it. I understand that's more for the younger age group, like the under 40 age group, but I don't know that for a fact. But that's certainly to create an Instagram account and have automatic connection between Facebook and Instagram would be a good thing to do. Twitter, it's not something that appeals to me much. I have a Twitter account and my Facebook posts go to Twitter but YouTube is a phenomenal way. Okay. I saw this thing. I went to watch a video on YouTube and this woman had an ad and she gets up and she's this cute little young thing with her long curly hair, or wavy hair. And she says, hi, my name is Tammy and I am the world's foremost authority on nutrition and wellness. What do you think I wanted to do? Like, well, who the hell do you think you are? The world's foremost authority on nutrition and wellness, self-proclaimed? You're like a teeny bopper. But she was all about, she was about selling something. But there is definitely an opt-in there. I've seen other videos where it just says, you can just put it in the comments. Hey, and if you want my free whatever, go click here. There's other really cool stuff and you need somebody who's more sophisticated with using tools and apps to actually pop your opt-in right on the screen and then be able to click it, right? And YouTube videos create connection. They create, people love YouTube videos, right? What do people do when they have nothing to do? They sit and watch YouTube videos. And so if you can get some videos out there and then you can drive traffic to it from your Facebook, you can drive traffic to it from Twitter, you can drive traffic to it when you speak, traffic to it from your own, so there's a lot of ways to do it. And then Blog Talk Radio, I don't think we use that.
No. On my business Facebook account, I do kind of a daily tip or challenge. Mm-hmm. And some of those are, they're YouTube videos of me doing some simple exercise. And, it could be just as simple as, stretching your neck or stretching your back, and I'll get on there. It's like 3 to 5 minutes. It's like, it's been a long day in front of the computer and this is what I'm doing, that kind of a thing. There was one time I snuck up on my kids in the living room because they're all down like this. And I had my phone on with the video going and I went over and I like lifted up their face, their chin, and lifted up the book or whatever they were using. And I started talking about proper posture because we're all, so every day I do something and once or twice a week, it's this little short YouTube video.
And so how does it go? How does it work for you to get traffic to them? How do you drive traffic to the YouTube?
So the YouTube is on my Facebook page. It becomes a part of
that. Check your stats on YouTube to see the numbers of opens and follows.
Oh, sure. And sometimes people actually go to the YouTube video and make comments in there.
Okay, so from Facebook, they go to the YouTube video.
The Facebook page, yep.
Okay. Cool. Yeah, so YouTube.
Because they know every day I'm going to be doing some quick, simple little tip, you know?
Yep, yep. And the thing with YouTube is you have to do a little research to see the titles that are going to go viral. Like some of my videos have 200 views and some of them have 20,000. And I, you know, still haven't figured out the algorithm for that. But if that's a method that you really like, it's worth looking into and it's worth doing some research or hiring a consultant kind of person who's an expert to help you to set that up.
I did see YouTube has something now called Live.
YouTube Live. I don't know how to, I know that because that's what Webinar Jam uses to broadcast Webinar Jams on. But I don't know how to do it yourself. Yeah. I haven't figured that part out because that would be cool. And the live stuff is really engaging and interactive. And I know some people don't. Some people just like to make YouTube videos and put them up because they feel like they could be more composed and more organized. I personally like to do things live. I really like to do things live because we all make blunders and say the wrong word and all. And when you do it and you make a video, you end up spending hours and hours trying to fix it. Anyway, that's just me. So any questions on any of these?
I just want to go back to the thing on the blogs.
Yeah.
Part of this conversation is about how to increase, you know, how to grow a bigger sandbox, you know, to get people in there. And so that interaction, whether you write a blog post like for us or somebody else, is going to help with that.
Mm-hmm.
You can go on to groups and so forth. I found that helps a little bit, some of those groups with the same, but usually that group is started by somebody who's trying to
sell their stuff.
And they don't always appreciate it if you put your stuff in there.
Yeah. Typically what I'll do, because I've done that on strategying a couple of times where people say something like, PM me and I'll send you a link to that.
Right.
But other people, you can have other people go in and promote you. Like Janine just promotes me all the time on strategy, right? Oh, Dr. Rita Marie's the best. Go check her out here and that kind of stuff. So that's another thing that you can do. If you have a family member or a friend who you can ask to go in and, you know, comment on your behalf. And the same thing in your own Facebook. When you do your own Facebook pages, the more interaction on that, the higher it bumps up and the more people are going to see it. So having your friends and family members go in and like and comment on your blog post can be actually quite on your Facebook post. I actually pay $500 a year to be in this group. And this is the only first year I've done it. I'll have to evaluate whether it's worthwhile. But where there's 10 of us and we, once a week, we have to like and comment on a certain number of posts in Facebook and Twitter, and LinkedIn is optional. And it does get the engagement up, but I don't know that it gets other engagement up. So I'm going to evaluate that at the end of the year and see if it's worth doing again. The guy who founded it has a huge, huge, huge following. So I think when he posts on things, it does bring it up, and he posts on all of my stuff. So, any other questions? Mahala, did you have a question, comment? So pick one. What's the one that resonates with you the most? If you love to talk in front of audiences, make the YouTube videos, do the Facebook lives, and get out there. And if you do YouTube videos, always post, embed them in a blog post, right? So when you make a video, you can get a lot of traction for it. You can make a video, you can post it to the blog, you can actually do show notes about the video, which people love, by going to temi.com and getting the computerized transcript that at least it's partially written, and then you just do some bullet point description of it, and then you post it. So you've got it on YouTube, you've got it on the blog, then you go to Facebook and you send them to the blog post, right? So that's sending more traffic to your blog post. Meanwhile, on your blog, you've got all this stuff going on here. You know, you've got the advertisement for your freebie that pops up or that sits on the side for them. When you go on YouTube and you post a video, in the description, the first thing you want is the URL that you want them to go to. And I learned this a long time ago, because when somebody's searching a certain term and say, you know, your blog, your YouTube comes up in their search, and what they see in the little clip-it that they show is the beginning of the description. So if the beginning of the description is the link where you want them to go to, whether it's your website, whether it's your freebie, I recommend your freebie, then you're going to get more clicks to that. Totally going to get more clicks to that. All right. And then in the description, you can also put, you can put a description. You can put, what else? You can put it again, I think. I think that was in the keywords. But you basically tell them a little bit about what they can get. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's, tell them about your freebie and tell them to go get it. And you can also, if you have somebody who edits your videos, and it doesn't take a lot, with your husband being technical, Mahela, he should be able to figure it out. With something like Camtasia or any of the video editors, you can put in at the end of your video, you can put a caption that has the link to your freebie. That's pretty nice to do. And there's some special apps and software where it allows you to embed something that you can click on. I don't know what exactly they are because I haven't researched that. So pick one. Does anybody want to have a sense of what they want to do?
So I have a question.
Yeah.
So I know you just said it, but I guess it's just not sinking in. So now I have a blog, and so how do I, where do I list my freebie? So,
okay. So on your blog,
popping up on when you open the blog, or
yeah. So there's a number of ways. You want it to stand out as soon as somebody comes to your blog. So it can be in the header off to the right side. It can be under the header. Okay. It could be in the column, but at the very top of the column, you can put a banner ad that talks about it. Okay. I would recommend you go to some sites. Off the top of my head, I can't think of some of the ones that do it well, but there's a number of them that do it really well. And then I would also list it at the bottom, because they're going to read the article, and when they finish it, they're going to be impressed with the article. Then it's going to say, hey, for more tips and for 7 strategies to blah, 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 just put your name and email address here. Right. Okay. And you can also do a pop-up. And the one I use is Pop-Up Ally. P-O-P-U-P-A-L-O-Y.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Because, so I was just thinking about, I want to do a video, and I have a blog that I already wrote, but I'm just tweaking the last stuff. It's on magnesium and how. Great. So I was thinking it's appropriate for both the hormones, for periods, for all kinds of issues.
Right.
Me being a pharmacist, I want to do a video where I'm discussing what type of magnesium should you pick if you go to the store and there's a million of them.
Yes.
And then to connect them to my blog, and then from my blog to connect them to my...
Well, where are you going to write this article? It's going to be on your blog.
Right.
So then you need to post on Facebook and all these other places that we talked about to get them to the blog article. Yeah.
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 So that's kind of what I'm working on right now, is my writer is finishing up the blog itself, and I'm working on the video.
Great. So the video can be on YouTube, sending them to the blog, right? And then the blog will promote the freebie.
Yeah.
Right. As soon as you have it ready. Yeah, that works. And then you go on Facebook and you promote it to the blog as well.
Right.
Use all the options. If you're on Instagram, you go there. If you're on Twitter, you go there. So wherever you are. And, you know, when you get to the point where you don't have time to do this, or you want to pay somebody, you can pay somebody, you know, piddly stuff. I mean, you don't have to pay somebody a lot. You just find it's not a hard job to say, here's my article, posted on my Facebook, posted on my Twitter, posted over here.
Okay. So on Facebook, I should put the video, or should I put the blog itself, or?
I would play with it and see. I mean, I would do one and then a couple of weeks later do the other and see which gets more engagement.
Okay.
If you do the Facebook, I think Facebook gives you, Facebook likes it better when you embed the video. Okay. Right? And then in the comments, you put the top comment, you would put the link. Lately, Facebook's been dinging people that have links. You don't get as much exposure when you have links in your article, in your post. It's really sad. But if you put it in the first comment, it's okay. Or if you embed it, if you have the video and it that embeds the link, you know, they see it on the screen and you say it. You say, hey, you don't want this freebie, go here.
Okay.
And that's where, you know, getting around the Facebook thing with not putting links in is good, to have the mini chat type thing. Again, I don't have enough information, and when I get enough information about it, I'll research it, and then we can do a talk, we can do a presentation on it. Because you get good engagement. The open rates on the mini chats, on the private chats, it's like 90% versus email might be 10 or 20%. Mm-hmm. So it just gives you a good way to do it. And then in your post, you can say, you know, and for additional information and blah, 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 just type XYZ into the chat and I'll send it to you. And they get it immediately in their private message and they look at it.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. And that's why I always say, have a call to action in your freebie. Not just contact me if you want an appointment or whatever, like we talked about for you, having in your freebie a link to the webinar on detox, yes, right? And then the webinar on detox would sell them into services with you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because you got them, you've got their attention. Don't waste having their attention. Because if you open up the problem for them and they realize they need a solution and you don't offer the solution, you just created business for somebody down the street, because they now know that they have this problem and they want to get it solved, but you didn't give them the opportunity to solve it with you.
Yeah.
Make sense?
Yeah.
Anybody else? Anybody else want to? So this sounds like a good one for you. Make a video, put it on YouTube, make your blog, write the blog, and then send traffic to it from the Facebook, and send the YouTube to the blog. Okay.
Yeah.
Great. And then I also heard that Facebook is liking better when you send people to free stuff. So you send them to the blog post and then the blog post gets them on your list. Whereas if you send them right to an opt-in, it doesn't work as well.
Okay.
Okay. Because it gives them that warm fuzzy about you that they don't get in just a little, you know, Facebook post. The other thing I'm hearing is that the Facebook posts that give more connection, more information, those tend to be working better. Like not just a little short, like marketing spiel, but kind of story-ish. And then with pictures that are warm and fuzzy, like Frank Kern, I don't know if you know who he is, but he said he experiments a lot with this picture that was very related to his content, right? And he tried several different pictures. And then he had him and his wife sipping champagne and looking happy. And that's what gets a tremendous amount of those, way perform way better. And he writes these long Facebook posts with the call to action. Tells a story. So that's something to consider. Allison, did you have anything? Is there one of these that stands out for you?
It's interesting what you were just saying, because I've noticed that long Facebook posts get a lot of traction, that give a bit more story behind the call to action. Mm-hmm. And I've also noticed that when people are doing free webinars now, in their marketing, they're actually stating that there will be an offer made. So they're being more authentic right from the start with that, which I'm finding a lot better. Yeah. I'm finding any chat quite intrusive. I know it's only people who I've signed up with, but every time I log in, there's another message from those people. And they've made it so that you can't sell. I mean, I've been doing some of the training on it. You can't send a message to somebody unless they've responded to a message from you within the last month, so it's actually quite difficult to engage with. I do know that everybody's overwhelmed with emails, so email marketing can't be the whole way that we do things, although it's an important resource, you know, to be able to start from each time. In terms of these things, I've had a blog talk radio show in the past, but I think it's a bit out of date now, really, now that Facebook Live exists.
Right, totally.
And you haven't mentioned LinkedIn, so depending on your target market, LinkedIn could be a useful port of call.
Absolutely. So any of the social medias, Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, Instagram, depends on your audience. If your audience is a more professional audience, LinkedIn is excellent. If your your audience is, you know, millennials, LinkedIn's probably not the best place.
Yeah. Instagram is brilliant for the youngsters and an important part of business to sort of keep things ticking over.
Yeah.
In terms of blogs, as I've written here, I blogged regularly until May 2017. Then I just got cold feet about the £500 or £600 a month that my blog's writing service was costing. But they were really, really brilliant. And the point is that I got to delegate. I just can't do everything. I just can't do anything.
And that's the hardest point. That's the hardest part. You got to figure out what's the most important thing for you to be doing. And what
because do you still have an active call to action, an effective call to action, and an effective funnel, there wasn't any point in continuing it.
Exactly.
But as well as writing the blog post to my specification, I had people trained up. So they have they would have 5 or 6 different people sending me responses to my suggestions, and I would select one. So I was having 2 or 3 a week. I would choose keywords, a title if I wanted to. So you can give as much or as little focus as you want. And I learnt the hard way that just saying holistic medicine is absolutely no good. You've got to choose something more specific, and then you get a much better quality of blog post from your blog writers. So I would say something like the effectiveness of skin brushing for detoxification, something like that. And then they would research it for me and produce a blog post, which was really helpful. And all of those blog posts that are circulated, very few of them are written by me. So I use this blog service, and they source a, it's extra, each extra step costs more, of course, but they will source a photograph to go with it. They will upload it to your website and leave it in draft ready for you to check, edit, and approve.
Then
so it's a really good service.
Yeah. Yeah. You need something like that. But you have a lot of content.
Price has gone up more. Yeah.
How many posts do you have out there?
Probably 200 or 300.
Great. So you can actually.
I've been blog writing since 2007.
So you've got a lot of content out there that you can repurpose. So keep that in mind. So if you want to make it fresh, because if people go there and they go, oh, this is an old blog post, actually you can take that same one in place and you can, or you can clone it and then you can tweak it around, move the paragraphs around a little bit. Change the headline and change the, you know, you need to change something in each paragraph, right? You can change the intro and then change something in each paragraph and then repost it, right? And Google won't know it and people won't know it because, you know, they don't remember what they read and where they read it.
Yeah, but the search bar will search and bring up both of those equivalent pieces. But there used to be a really good service for article writing that actually muddled up all your articles, so you could publish them in 5 different places or 10 different places and Google will think of them as unique. That was really brilliant. That was back 2007, 2008, 2009. I used that for my article write. I was doing article marketing at that time for my pet website. It worked very, very well. And it's a great way of, at the time, it was a very great way of creating traction, although few people talk about article marketing nowadays.
They don't talk about it much. You know, it's Facebook, YouTube, blogs. Yeah.
What kind of marketing?
Articles.
Article marketing.
There's a lot of article sites.
So you write an article, and there's basically people who write newsletters but don't want to write their own articles will then use your free article, which has got your call to action and your link to your freebie at the bottom. And so that way your article, as well as going as a guest blog post for people, it goes into people's newsletters as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't hear much about that anymore either. Yeah, but these are all ways to get known, right? And then the speaking in your community is a great way, and doing Facebook Lives and webinars for other people, right? So you contact people and say, hey, I have this. This is what I did at the beginning. I contacted Kevin Gianni. I contacted Tara Warner. I contacted a bunch of people and said, hey, I've got this and this and this, and I would love to give some content to your audience. Do you want to do like a webinar together, or can you interview me on your show? And I got a lot of traction from that and a lot of following from that. And then it's easier now with Facebook Live because you can get up there and you can invite people on and you can go on other people's Facebook. To me, it's a very low commitment of time, of team time and organization to have somebody interviewed on Facebook Live versus to create a webinar, right? You got to create the opt-in sheet and da-da-da-da. And then you always have something that you're calling them to action to do, a freebie. So whenever I interview somebody, and if they have a book offers are easy. A $7 book or the $20 book or whatever, people, they flock to it. All the people on, when they're listening, they go buy the book. But if you had a $7 ebook offer or you had just a freebie, you're going to get a lot of people from that. And find people you want to do it. I'm happy to do a Facebook Live with any of you when you're ready. When you have your opt-in sequence in place and it's going to be good for you, happy to do it. Happy to do it. Yeah, it'll be fun. Be a lot of fun. Okay? I think we're close to the end. I think I just went into. Yeah, here's some questions, additional questions to ask. Who do you know personally that would like your free gift? Do you have a cousin? Do you have an aunt? Who would you like to tell about your free gift and let them then be your, hey, I love this article. Mahala just offered me this free book. Just go to this link and you can get my cousin Mahala's free book, right? So who do you know? Think about that. What organizations have members in your niche? You know, because there's a lot of local organizations and chapters of various disease clubs, right? People go and hang out with other people with the same disease. What else? What are there? What organizations have those people? And not just the disease things, but like an organization might be the, you know, some sort of a, it doesn't have to be a menopause awareness group, but people that are in that age group that get together, right? Baby boomers clubs. It could be, it could be athletic clubs, you know, whatever they are that have people in your niche going to be there. Not that the whole thing is in your niche. But I mean, what group doesn't have people with menopause symptoms unless it's a senior citizens thing, right? What menopausal group, what senior group doesn't have people who are struggling with menopause symptoms, right? Executive groups, right? There's all kinds of groups. So who are they and how do you get an in with them? What Facebook groups can you join? We already talked about that. Who has a list of people who could benefit? And in looking to people who have a list, who are online, look for people who are not competitive, who also don't offer a menopause program, but who offer programs other than that. Like, I don't offer programs for people with menstrual cramps. I mean, certainly people go through our year-long program. We work with them on that, but I don't offer that. I don't offer a menopause. It's not, there's no competition. There's no like, why would I send them to your program if I already have my own program, right? And that's why some, you'll see me promoting like people like Trisha Nelson, who has the emotional eating piece that just gels so well with me. I want my people to get their emotional eating under control because then when they come into my programs, they're going to be much more successful because they could actually follow them. And are you willing to try paid ads? Before you try paid ads, make sure you've tested your funnel out. Make sure that you have your freebie in place, that if you're going to have a tripwire, you have that in place. And even if you don't have a program yet, that you somehow are leading them to a free consultation with you from there, right? So, and then you send paid ads. It's not that much. You can start with very little, like $5 a day even, just to test it out and see. Lynn? Did you have a question?
Yep. Well, I was just going to say, I just remembered one thing I did. Along with that, the one interview series, I did a second one with people that resonated around a particular message I was trying to deliver. And for a week, like Monday through Friday, every morning, I had done some research and it showed like at 8:30 in the morning, showed the highest amount of people on Central Time, showed the highest amount of people on the internet. So at 8:30 in the morning, for half an hour, I had a different speaker each day. And so, you know, they were being introduced to my audience and vice versa. And it was, you know, we just did it on Zoom and it was very, I just kept it easy and low key because, I didn't want to put a whole lot of, I just wanted it easy and low key but to do it. And it just, you know, it increased that traffic to my list as well.
Yeah.
And I didn't know these women ahead of time. I just sent them a link saying, hey, this is what I'm trying to do. Let's schedule 15 minutes to talk and see if it's a good fit. And we've kept in contact because we, all of us realized that we had something to learn from each other.
Yeah.
So it was just kind of a fly by the seat of my pants thing. But, you know, I just did it. I didn't wait for it to be perfect.
It's kind of like a mini summit almost. So you send out and they send out to their list, hey, I'm going to be interviewed this morning. Come watch. Summits have been in the past a great way to build your list and get following.
But this was on Zoom. So the people who came in could interact.
Yeah,
it was live.
I kind of like that. In the olden days, believe it or not, the summits were live. And you can get on and you got to really work with the person. You get to ask questions. And now they're this whole production that takes 6 months to orchestrate. And the truth of the matter is that I'm finding the people who say they do it. Now, that's a great launch strategy, but a lot of people say that the opt-ins they get from the summit lists are not quality, that half of them, a lot of them opt out pretty quickly once they have the thing. And, they don't open. I mean, if you look at the stats, they're not the best list in the world. So, you know, it's not the best strategy at this point, I think. And I know there's a lot of people teaching it and that there's somebody teaching a class in summits and she'll get 100 people in that she's teaching how to do summits. And suddenly all of these new people are doing summits and there's tons of them out there. I mean, the ones that do best actually are the ones that are very targeted topic. Like Summer Bach does really well with her Better Belly project, she calls it. And Tom O'Brien did great with the Gluten Summit. And, you know, you got the Brain Summit. So we're seeing more of that. And those summits do really well. But these Get Your Energy Back summits and Be Your Best Self Summit and, you know, Women's Wellness Summit. You know, when they tell me they want me to be on it, I'm like, how many people are you expecting to be on this summit? They'll say, oh, I think, you know, maybe 2,000 to 3,000. It's not worth my time. Right? It's not worth my time. Because of those 2,000 to 3,000, how many of them are actually going to watch my thing? And then of the ones that watch my thing, how many are going to opt in? Maybe I get 25 new people on my list. Now, for you, that might be great, right? It's a great way to do it. But at this point, it's not worth it, the effort for me to do it. Because I've already got 125,000 people on my list and an extra 25 that may not be targeted is not great. Now you may be able to nurture those 25. So look for places where you can speak, right? I know Tony's done them and Steph's done them and who else has been on somebody's summit? Have you been on a summit, Allie? I know Lisa was on a summit once. You were on a summit. And how did it go? Did you get a bunch of opt-ins from it?
No, not very few, very few.
Yeah.
For me, I hadn't really got my opt-in targeted enough. I did one summit, I did one talk on incontinence in menopause, and I did a recent one which wasn't done as a summit. It was done as a completely free interview series. from somebody who's beginning to go through menopause herself, who's a journalist. And I've had several people contact me directly from that because it was just an interview which was loaded up to YouTube. And it's been brilliant. There was never at any stage a sale. So they didn't try and sell you all the bits for £97 or anything. Everybody who signed up has got access to all of the pictures whenever they want, which is all the videos whenever they want, which is great. And it was a lovely informal interview, which just allowed me to connect to my passion again, which was great.
Yeah.
And it was UK based, you know, which so there's this NHS private thing is very different in the UK.
Yeah. Yeah. So if you are, I mean, if you are, look, search it out. Look at summits and look at the people on the summits, and you can always reach out to those people if they're in your niche and reach out to them to see about doing a Facebook Live interview. Hey, I heard you speak on XYZ, you know, and then say, hey, here's the link. We're going to do it tomorrow. Please send your people here to hear you. It's going to be great. Right. And you can build that way. But anybody that look at podcasts, I would definitely look at podcasts and see what podcasts you're kicking on. Get look at the top 10 health podcasts and see which of them what they're offering and see if you can come up with a craft a title of a talk that they would like to hear. Right? They don't want a generic title. They want something juicy. Right? And it depends on your niche too. You got to make sure that they're you know you're not going to go pitch a menopause thing for millennials. Make sense? So get yourself before a live audience, showcase your expertise, reach a lot of people, grow your following, build a library of content because you can save all those videos, and then you get to practice. So do some free webinars. I know, Allie, you've done some. And Facebook Lives, like orchestrate your Facebook Lives. Whoops. So that you are, let's see. There we go. There's the questions to ask. You'll have the slides. Yeah. So what is the advantage of these? Like doing free webinars and getting on Facebook Live or Instagram Live. You're just getting, you're getting a lot of practice. That's first of all. And you are getting before a live audience. You get to showcase your expertise. And when you're on those, say, hey, if you have any friends who are having menopausal symptoms, go ahead and share this with them so they come on. We get a lot of sharing going on during our Facebook Lives. Find somebody to get on Facebook Live with, to be a guest on, because then you're exposed to their audience. And then you build a library of content so you can download those audios and you can pull clips from them. You may have to trim them a little bit, but you can put them on your YouTube channel or you can break them up into small pieces and send them out in emails. And then finally, the whole thing on joint venture opportunities, and we just don't have time to go into it, but think about who else in your community or online are offering complementary services, right? And talk to them about doing something together. If it's a live thing, how about a little talk in their reception room, right? If it's an online, how about a thing on their podcast? So just making relationships is the first important thing is joint venture, right? I have somebody I'm going to be talking to tomorrow. She's local. So we went out and had tea together on set. So I've known her for a long time, but not more in a friend relationship or a colleague relationship then. And she's got some good stuff. And I'm like, wow, we should do some stuff together because this is really good. And so we're going to talk on Friday about her actually doing a PBSS talk for us, because I think she has a really amazing platform. Anyway, and then finally, affiliate opportunities. It's the same thing. We're done. So I'm going to stop the share. And I just would like to close with what's one thing that each of you is taking away from this and is going to work on. Do we lose Annette? No, Annette's still there. There she is. All right, everybody, who wants to go first?
Okay, I think that the power of the meetups. That was really interesting. So I'm going to sort of look into some meetups and holding a meetup, because I'm all set to host the functional forum for the whole of the southeast, because nobody's doing it south of London.
Nice.
And so to do it as a meetup as well as through Eventbrite makes sense. And the one that the recording that they did on Monday was actually about autoimmune disorders. So since that's a real quandary for a lot of GPs, I could get a lot of interest in that.
Cool.
And then if I create those relationships with GPs who don't really understand the autoimmune disorders, the thyroid and the diabetes, I could probably get some referrals from people who are a bit open-minded about it.
Absolutely. Great. Awesome. So just go to meetup.com, sign yourself up, start your meetup, come up with a hot topic, a hot title for it, and go for it. Awesome. Mahela?
So I'm going to continue to work on the blogs, and because right now I have blogs, but they're not linked to, they're just there. So
mm-hmm.
I'm going to work on
that. How many blog posts do you have out there?
I have 6.
Great.
And I got them, the school where I graduated from, he told us that we can use any of his blogs as long as we reference him. So that's what I did for my first 6 while I'm working on my first one. So,
fantastic. So call to action in each of one of those. So you'll go back and edit those once you have your freebie set up, right? In the meantime, you can put a call to action, which is let's have a conversation about how I can support you in this and get a free strategy session link.
Okay.
Yes, and you'll get a link to a calendar. So there's free ones. I think Time Trade has a free version and Acuity. I don't know all of them, but... but they've changed over the years. I've settled into one. Yeah. Okay. And then just always, if you don't have your freebie ready, make your call to action is reach out and let's talk. Okay. Right? Add some water.
Are you still on your water fast?
What's that?
Are you still on your water fast?
Yeah. This is day 5.
Okay. Wow. Good.
It's great. I love I love it. It's so easy. I don't have to cook. I don't have to clean. I'm a little hungry.
Kind of like that lady who shaved her hair.
Oh, yeah.
The head on her hair. So
think about it.
I don't have to worry about making your hair.
Yeah. No haircuts. No, yeah. Easy. Yeah.
Well, what I have to do is I've got to get my website copy onto my new website. So that's like priority number one. And I have to then think how my freebie links to my ideal client. Because I figured out I had an issue with this whole ideal client, because I speak to conditions as opposed to the person.
That's
fine.
Guess.
And so I figured, I finally figured it out. So I would always get to draw a blank, you know, when people, would say, you know, describe your ideal client as this person. And so it's just, so I figured that out at least.
Yeah.
So I just need to have, and then the website should be consistent. So that's gotta be finished. And then think of the funnel, I guess. I just have to think it all through again now.
Go back through the other calls that we did in this series and the calls we've had, the mastermind ones, the ones that were in the evening you missed, because we worked through it with people, and then the retreat day that we did. And we actually worked people through it, and that's why Annette's close and Mahela's close to having that done, right? Okay. So, yeah. And then... your freebie, right? Yeah. You may want to come up with a new freebie and you look through all that stuff, because we went through step by step and coming up with the ideas and all that. You want to appeal to that person. So if that person is a fatigued, you know, working person, a middle-aged or whatever, executive, then you're going to appeal to them with what strategies that they can fit into their busy life to give them more energy.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
And then you can easily do that. You are like me in that you overwhelm with too much information.
Yes.
So whenever you come up with your freebie, cut it down and make half of it your next step cheap, $7 offer.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because when we overwhelm them on the freebie, why do they come back for more? They're full. You don't want dessert after you've had this full meal that just has you feeling stuffed, right? Mm-hmm. Annette.
Yes. I had gone to eat. That's why my camera was on. But I'm still listening. I just don't feel I need to eat in front of everybody. one of the things that this call really brought back to me was I do need to get back on my blog. I enjoy writing. So I really need to pick that back up. And that's been kind of gnawing at me the last week anyway. So hearing it again is good reinforcement.
Great.
And obviously finishing the call to action. And I did learn in between calls how to do the link. So I can do that.
Okay. Good. That.
Yeah. Yeah. So perfect. I'll be able to do the calendar.
Perfect. Awesome. Yeah. You're this close. Yeah. You could put that out as is. I mean, it's perfect the way it is. It's not going to get as much traction as if you strengthen that call to action.
No, let's fix it.
And that's why I want to fix it. All right. All right, everybody. I haven't seen the chat. Was there anything in the chat that I need to do? Allison's next.
Can I just ask a quick question? Does anybody use Groupon? One of the trainings I did recommended using Groupon to put very special offers out. And a chiropractor I know has used that. I was just wondering if anybody else uses that.
I've never used it. Did the chiropractor actually get ongoing business from that? That's my
experience. Yeah, he did.
That's good. Yeah. That could be definitely a way to go. Because I've bought Groupons, you know, as gifts for a massage to give Scott for a Christmas present, or I've done it for the water flotation tanks. Have I become a regular member? Yeah. No, I wait for another Groupon.
Yeah. Allison, I have a friend that owns a massage place, and he really liked Groupon. He got a lot of business out of it. His big complaint was that people waited till, you know, like the last week, and then, of course, there weren't enough availabilities to accommodate everybody. So.
Good. That's good to know. Lynn, did you have anything to add? Anything you're going to do as a result of this?
Well, I've actually been reviewing my whole thought process. When I first started a couple of years ago, when I first went back to like reopen my business, I had a business coach who was taking me in one direction. I've actually been reevaluating that. So my opt-in offer are these three videos about, you know, looking inside yourself to find yourself. And I'm revisiting that because my ideal client is someone who's extremely exhausted and what I call bone sucking tired. Mm-hmm. And it's usually because they're a busy mom or just, they're just busy. They're not looking to find their true self. They're looking for ways to increase their energy because they're bone sucking tired.
Right.
So I have been sketching some ideas for really simple opt-in. The one that I'm really leaning for is three things you can put in your water that can help increase your energy.
Oh, nice. I like that. Yeah. That's intriguing, right? Yeah. It's easy.
Exactly.
As I sit here with peppermint oil and orange oil in my water, or spearmint.
Just saying, you know, and so that's kind of where, and it also fits in with the role I have using herbs and so.
Yeah, forth. you're an earth mama, and I think that getting, you know, that hands in the soil kind of information out to people would be really great. You know, how to eat from your backyard. How I'm going to put together a video of you going out into your backyard and picking your dinner.
There you go.
So from the wild stuff.
There you go.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, so great, everybody.
That's where I'm at right now.
Super. Well, this has been awesome. Thank you. I hope you learned a lot and hope it got you pushed in a direction. Yeah. Helpful.
Yes. Good. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Was there anything in the chat that I should be looking at, or are you guys just chatting with each other?
No, you're fine.
I'm good. All right. Thank you much. Mwah. We'll see you later. Bye. Bye. I'll see you in a few minutes.
Where do I call you?
Skype? Want to do Skype?
Will that work?
My Skype. Or should I give you another Zoom? I'll Skype you a Zoom, another Zoom link. Okay.
Cool. Okay.
Bye.
Bye.